And I said, what shall we do? I just pray for your anointing, Lord, that we'd all be changed by the word that shared this morning. Just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks, Steve. Do you mind if I come down here? Much better. Morning, all. Sorry. There you go. Before I share what's on my heart today, I'm not quite sure whether Rob will remember this long, long time ago. I don't know how many years ago. You gave us, the church, an extract from a book of John Maxwell. It read as follows. Until I am committed, there is a hesitancy, a chance to draw back. But the moment I definitely commit myself, then God moves also. And a whole stream of events erupt. All manner of unseen incidents, meetings, persons, and material assistance, which I could never have dreamt would come my way, begin to flow towards me the moment I make a commitment. Isn't wonderful? Some of the things that we're looking as the church, each one committed or devoted. It's something that, you know, I've been looking through our church, looking at our communities, something that's lacking. It's not there. And it makes it very, very hard for us as the church to demonstrate who God is in our lives. You know, people who just walk in church because, you know, we should, in a sense, like it becomes a hobby or an event of which church is life. I've been encouraging the guys in the Zulu congregation that, you know, church is life. It's not just an idea. For us, it must be everything. It's so wrong when the church priorities are not right. I think what's going to help us as the church moving forward is that we need to commit ourselves on what God is doing in our lives. We need to commit ourselves the body of Christ. So I looked through these things and then I realized that, you know, sometimes you think, okay, we need people to be committed to the church. We need people to engage to the church. But then I realized that it's a personal walk. It needs to start with someone's making a decision in his own or her personal capacity. How is he going to commit his life or devote his life to the Lord? Because that personal walk with God is going to impact how I see the bigger picture, the body of Christ, how I engage, how I commit myself to the body of Christ. And as you read through the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 42, it says, all believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including Lord's Supper, as we've just done here this morning, and to prayer. All believers devoted themselves. So I went to the dictionary, look at this word, devoted. It says to give all or most of one's time or resources to a person or activity. In other words, if I've got to live that Christian life that glorifies and exalts God, I've got to give it all. I can't afford to worship Jesus half-heartedly. You know, these days we see the church, when I'm saying the church, I'm not saying Crossroads Church, I mean the church in general, the universal church, that our hearts are not sold out for Jesus. Especially so in our communities where we live, you know, serving Jesus is just another activity that we do on Sundays, of which is wrong. Should be our lifestyle. Should be something that we experience, as we heard earlier on, every day, every moment of our lives. And then from that personal walk, that personal devotion, that personal commitment, it goes to a family devotion. I think that's where so much needs to be invested in, take care of. You know, sometimes I envy you people. When I say you people, I mean you white folks. Because when I compare the family units between us and you, in our context, not existing. It's not existing. It makes it even more impossible to have those family devotions. When I look at the setup, how our church, especially the Zulu congregation, how it's made up, you know, you see people individual walking in into our church, not as families, but just individual. And I can assure you that those family devotions are not happening at all. Because it could be that in that family unit, they don't believe in Christ. Maybe some members, they believe in a fellowship, or they believe in a tree or in a son, whatever they believe in. So to have those family devotions, it just makes it impossible. So my thinking was that, you know, when those family devotions are taking place and are happening, as the word of God encourages us, in Deuteronomy chapter 11 verse 19, it says, teach them to your children. Talk about them, the word of God. Talk about them, the teachings, the instructions of the word. Talk about them with your children as you sit down around the table, having breakfast, you know, having dinner. Share the word with your family. It says here, when you walk along the road, well, most of us, we don't walk that much, but when you drive to work in the morning, share the word of God. Put a CD, I don't know, put a CD. Do something as you walk back and forth during the day, whether you're going to work or dropping kids at school. And I remember at some point, Rob gave me a CD, a whole pack of CD about the book called The Sheikh. I think they've released a movie now. I haven't seen the movie, but I read that book years ago. And then Rob gave me the set of CDs that I can listen to this book. I can tell you, my boys in the morning, they were looking forward to it. Because every day that I take them to school, I would put it in. And then we'll listen to this. And then my son will ask me, is it possible that in heaven God will make us bacon? Because, you know, this guy, the narrator, will speak in such a way, you know, it consumes. We want to listen to this thing. We want to listen to the love of God, you know. Although there are things I'm not 100% agree with, but, you know, you listen, the relationship between God and Holy Spirit, Jesus, how they work together. It just blew me. Every day, Dumisa will walk, jump into the car, said, put CD number 4. I want to listen to God. Whatever. So all those things, whatever we can do, we try our best to make sure that those family devotions are happening. And I was telling the interim team that we've started something at home. I call it family traditions. Because I don't spend much time with Figile during the week. She's out there in Greytown. She comes home on Fridays. We make sure every Saturday in the morning of our breakfast, we let the boys read the word. We discuss the word. We ask questions. Every Sunday afternoon, we watch a movie, a Christian movie. I'm telling you, the last 3 Sundays I've been in tears as we watch movies together, because God speaks to me, to us as a family, in an amazing way. And then I came home when Jared was preaching at our church, Tumbleweed, 3 weeks, 4 weeks ago. And then my son started to ask me questions. Olam. I said to myself, I wish I didn't invite Gerald to come and preach. Because now I've got to explain. You know, he said to me, what do you mean? What did he mean when he said, Jesus redeemed us? In fact, he said, what did he mean when he said, even Jesus redeemed the soil? What's soil got to do with it? All those kind of things. And then it makes us to see a bigger picture of what God wants us to do. Then, that's why I'm coming to this thing of a church being committed to the church. It makes it easier once all those basics are covered. You know, in our Zulu congregations, I keep on reminding myself, I mustn't say Zulu congregations. Maybe I must say, you know, in our black congregations, because they're not Zulus, they're Xhosa, Sotho, some are coming outside the country, especially in Tumbleweed, so to say Zulus, they feel excluded. I said to them, you know guys, to be committed to the church, it must cost you everything. Gone are the years where, like today, there's a comrades marathon. There's a showground, especially today on a Sunday, a concert, big concert in town. Look around, churches have. Where they've gone to? Showground. I'm not saying here, I don't know where they've gone to here. But in our context, they've gone to showground. There's a big concert, big artists are in town today. And then the priorities are not right. They will say to me, you know, we didn't come to church yesterday because it was raining, it was cold, we felt, you know, it's... And then as the next thing, Saturday, Monday morning, 5 o'clock, they're waiting at the bus stop to go to work. And I'm thinking, how is that possible? And then it tells you where their heart is. Amen. It tells you where their heart is. Because for me, to be committed to Christ, it means everything. You know, if the church starts at 9, but my Figile will tell you, I'm up at 5 in the morning. Why? To make sure by 9, everything is in place. You know, if I had to go and pick up somebody, if I had to go and fetch somebody, if I've got to take someone from Tumbleweed to Mount Michael, from Mount Michael to Tumbleweed, so that today as we come together to worship the Lord, you see, it takes each one of us, no matter how small or big it is, it takes all of us to play that part. Otherwise, Christianity becomes just another hobby, another social gathering, you know. It becomes a bless me club. We are more than that. We are called for God's purposes. We are just more than just being, you know, polite Christians. We've got to be radical. You know, Jesus says in Luke chapter 12, verse 69, once you put your hand in that plow, you don't turn back. We've got to have such Christians these days who are committed in serving him. But unless they are committed in him, serving him is another story. We've got to be committed in him. And then it makes easier to be committed to the body. Otherwise, we play church, you know, we want to look good, you know. It's not about that. So, in closing, I want to say this. When it says all believers were together, it's an inclusive. It tells us that this church, everything they did, it to us to glorify God. They, you know, if worshiping God doesn't cost you, then we've got to think again, why? When I was here 2 weeks ago, Pam Heather said, you know, worship should be a sacrifice. It should cost you everything. You know, when you remember when you spoke about that perfume, it was expensive. You know, that lady could have said, you know what, let me go down the road to Boxer and get something cheaper for Jesus. Sometimes that's what the church does. Let me get something that's not going to really cost me. You know, something just to make it, whatever. But when we worship God, it costs us everything. It costs our time, it costs our resources, it costs our finance. It makes me to engage with people that some I wouldn't have to. But because I understand the bigger picture and the purpose, I have to do that. You know? Why? Because I understand that I'm committed to the body of Christ. And that's why this church was so strong and powerful. In fact, I've been challenging the church that, you know, when we put these principles in place, I said to them, we don't have to go out. I'm not saying we mustn't. We've got to. It's our great commission. But I said to the guys at Tamborid, we don't have to go out and put tents everywhere. But if we put these principles in place, Jesus himself, the great and the greatest evangelist ever walked on this earth, will bring people to the church. He will keep on adding as he did here. You see, guys, what I'm trying to say here is that if we, this group here, we commit ourselves in serving him, we commit ourselves to serve this church. When I'm saying this church, I'm not saying the building, I'm saying us. You know what's going to happen? God will bring people to this church. Every Sunday, new people will walk in this church. Why? Because God has seen where our hearts lie. And God will make sure that he brings people. He will add people who will be saved, who will be connected, who will serve this church. You know, not just being saved, but serve this church, being committed to this church as we put our priorities right. So I want to conclude again with this statement from John Maxwell. Until I am committed, you've got to be intentional about it. It's not going to just happen. It's not a magic. You've got to make up your mind. You've got to think about it. And then you make a resolution. I'm committing myself. Other than that, if there's no commitment, if I feel in the morning I don't have to go to church, I'll still show on the TV, God TV, that's what I'm going to do. If I'm not committed, there's always a hesitancy that it's cold outside, it's raining outside, let me sleep in, let me have a cup of coffee in bed rather than going to church. But if I'm committed, no matter what, I'll jump out of that bed, I'll make sure that I'm going out to serve. Until I'm committed, there are things, unforeseen things, events that I will never experience. You know, I always say to people, when someone stands up in the church, I say, guys, please pray for me. And then we all say, amen, we'll pray for you. And then we go home and sleep. We forget about it. 2 weeks later, that person comes up here and says, guys, I want to give a testimony. And then you're sitting there and I'm thinking, And then whatever the testimony is, whether it's healing or got a new job, whatever it might be. And then you're sitting there, you're thinking to yourself, I can't really be part of the testimony. Because the plea was made, I didn't commit myself. Really, you feel bad, eh? Well, maybe it hasn't happened. It has happened to me. When someone has asked to be prayed for, and then I didn't do anything about it. And then when I hear God, what God has done, I think to myself, I've missed the opportunity. I could have been a part of that. I could be celebrating with that person because I will know that I play my part in it. It happens. And then all manner of unseen incidents, meetings, presence, material assistance, start to flow towards me. That's what's going to happen to the church. When we commit ourselves, things we never thought will happen, will happen. Because we're serving God who's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, more than we can think or ask or imagine. He's God who's able to do the impossible. Where you think there's no hope, God comes into a situation. He intervenes in every manner in our lives to make sure that at the end of the day, His name is glorified. But it will take, as you read this, it will take me when I commit myself. It says, when I commit myself, God moves also. God wants people to be committed. You know, that's why even devil doesn't like people who are not committed. They are useless to him. What is going to do with them? He doesn't like people who have got no spine. If you have had experience to see people who've been involved in satanic activities or being part of what the enemy is doing, you will see that the enemy will never go for someone that is not committed. Find somebody who's going to be sold out for him. How much more when we commit our lives to Christ? It says God moves also. Why? Because He looks at the heart. If He sees there's no commitment in the heart, God will just kind of fold His arms and just look at us. But when He sees, because that's what's going to draw Him, when He sees the commitment that we've got for Him, I can assure you, He'll not sit in heaven and fold His arms. No. He will make sure that He becomes part of what you are doing. So church, I want to encourage you, encourage myself as well, that let us commit ourselves to what God is doing in our lives. You know, let not just be another church is life. Let's do it together. Let's experience it together. You know? And then we'll see how God is going to move. Amen.
Thank you, Doozy. As Doozy was sharing, I was just scrambling trying to find the scripture. I've found it. So Doozy, don't go away. Don't go away. I want you to pray for us. Come. It's in 2 Chronicles. It speaks about the eyes of the Lord search to and fro for hearts that are fully committed. I'm probably messing it up. That He may strongly support what they're doing. And it's just good to hear that word. And I'm convinced that our commitment to the Lord is correlated strongly to our knowledge of Him. That when we see Him as He is, when we understand who He is and what He's done, that He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, our understanding just, it kind of falls short. And it's, I think the radical people in the Bible and in history and that, they had this revelation of who He actually is. And it's kind of foreign to what goes on here. But I think we'll never really get to a place where we say, okay, be committed, be committed, be committed. It starts with our knowledge of Him. So I'd like to ask Doozy to pray for us along the lines of Ephesians 1, I think it's 17, where it says, and I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, that you may know Him more. So, Doozy, would you, as the Spirit leads, but along those lines, that we would know Him more, and that through that our commitment would grow.
Let us stand. Lord Jesus, the head of the church, we stand before your throne of grace this morning. Lord, I pray that you'll open the eyes of our heart, that we might see who you are. As we sang earlier on, when Heda was leading us in that song in worship, that our eyes will be enlightened to see who you are. So that in return, we will know who we are in you. So Father God, this morning really as a church, we commit ourselves in you to save you. That all that we are it will give praises and glory unto your name. Lord, I do pray that through the power of your Holy Spirit in us, you will make us understand how you've knitted us together, each one of us, each member, into this one body, so that we'll play our role effectively. Again, Lord, I do pray that you will continuously lead us through the power of your Spirit in us. As your word says, as tells us that Spirit of God who dwells in us, who understands the mind of God. Sometimes we pray, it says, not sometimes, what we pray is like, in fact, doesn't mean anything. But the Spirit who dwells in us, he understands exactly what we want to say. And he makes those words known to God. And he does that as well, that is in the mind, in the heart of God, makes it known to us. So Father, to pray that as the church will enclose us with this knowledge of knowing who you are in our lives. Pray, Lord, as that as church, as we move forward, that will grow us spiritually, physically, socially, that, Lord, we have such an impact in our communities because you are with us. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks, everyone. That's the end of the meeting. The